and welcome to The Two Tones. This is episode 14. Michael Sexton.
Tony. Michael Sexton, Tony. Premiership player, Tony. Welcome. Great to see you. Rod Ashman.
Oh.
The great number 14. What a player he was. And, I'm putting my head on the block here, but was Brad Fisher 14 as well? I've got a funny feeling he may have been. I stand corrected if not. 99 games for the club. And a great mate of Cade Simpson's who turns out for game 300 in a fortnight. Tony?
All right. Well, Cade Simpson was one of the few standout players for Carlton's very disappointing game against Frio at Etihad Stadium over the weekend, Tone. We're going to review it now.
Perhaps must we?
Well, sadly, yes. This is certainly going to be one of the more difficult post-mortems we are to engage in. A 57-point loss, but we know the game was lost in the first quarter, the first 10 minutes, you could argue. Frio came to play. They didn't muck around, and it was on. Now, they are a team that are in rebuild phase as well. They had a lot of young players playing, and they have been able to scan the draft and find some really good talent.
Very true.
And that was on display. It was that first half was, I have to say, Tone, probably the hardest half of football Carlton have played to watch, that is, I would say, in about 15 years.
Yes, I could probably go back a bit further, round 11, 1991, Tone.
Really?
Western Oval.
Yeah.
When Mark Arcieri, you will recall, kicked Carlton's first goal for the game in the time on period of the last quarter.
Oh, my God.
Now, it was a wet deck, so perhaps circumstances were a little bit different, but grim pickings out of the kennel that day, Tone, let me tell you. But, look, let's be honest, it was one of the more lamentable first half showings you would ever see from a Carlton team. You mentioned, you know, the game being effectively over 10 minutes in. It was an interesting moment in the game, Tony, because the Dockers got away to a flyer, and I think they were 3-2 to a point.
Yeah.
Levi took a mark in the pocket, jammed against the line, and missed a fairly difficult shot for goal, has to be said.
Yeah.
Matty Wright took a mark point blank out and missed.
Yes.
And then Matty Cruiser hit the post with a follow-up shot on the run.
Yeah.
Now, that was the moment. That litany of missed opportunities actually really hurt Carlton at that period.
Yeah.
Fremantle rebounded after the Cruiser miss and kicked their fourth, and
so then from then, on turnaround.
It was, and from then on it was a procession. And look, you know, we're just saying off air, Tony. You can accept your team going down if it goes down swinging.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the first half at least, there was just absolutely no resistance, and it was hard to believe you were actually seeing what you were seeing. You know,
they're
just
a team having come off the
bye. Yes, but just our blokes seemed to be in slow mo, and you know, as you said, Fremantle came to play. All power to them. They jumped Carlton and really, well, the game was over. Yeah, pretty early in the piece, but we were truly lamentable. I saw two things, Tony, I've never seen in my time in the game. I saw the Carlton players booed off the ground by their own half time. And I saw at the end of the game the Carlton players, to a man, applaud the members and supporters for maintaining their support through, let's be honest, not only a difficult game of football, but a difficult period in Carlton's otherwise illustrious history. So the narrative doesn't change, Tony. The rebuild is on in earnest. Are we 2.5 years in?
Yes.
It will continue, obviously, with early selections at the end of the year. Hopefully there'll be a few trades that go our way, and who knows what will happen with the father-son rule. It'll be a very, very interesting period, I'm sure, beyond the final home and away round of this season. But perhaps we're jumping the gun too early. There's still a lot to be played for the team and the players who, let's be honest, have the privilege of wearing this guernsey and should treat it as such. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens at selection this week, Tony, that performance can't be accepted.
No, and, you know, it's a game against Collingwood. Collingwood have their tails up. They've won, I think, their last eight. The game that sparked their winning streak was against Carlton.
We have a habit of running teams into form, Tony.
Tone, can I ask, were you in the rooms after the game?
Yes, I was in the morgue.
All right, and can you give us a boots on the ground perspective of what was anything said? Were players brought into a huddle? What was the
look? It was It's not the greatest place to be after a loss like that. It has to be said. What happened from my perspective was spent a lot of time waiting because the players were all called in and locked away for the better part of 40 minutes.
Yeah,
it's fair to say a few home truths were put to the 22 by the senior coach. I'm not privy to what was said.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it was favourable. However, once the players emerged, I had an opportunity to briefly chat to both Matthew Wright and Sam Kerridge.
Mm.
And look, none of them were making excuses. It was a deplorable first half. Whether the buy is a factor or not, I don't know. Maybe it is, but, it's an excuse. You can't make them for the poor performance that was turned in by the players. The players had to fairly rapidly leave the room to head upstairs to greet the members, which they did en masse. Every player went up with the coach and the president. I think the club was mingling with the membership as well, which is the right thing to do. Because current supporters, I think, and I've said this before, Tate, by and large, they do get the narrative. They understand where Carlton is going and the raison d'etre, the plan. In saying that, there are still some supporters that heap vitriol on their own, never edifying to see it in the crowd. And I saw a couple of instances and heard a couple of instances, in the second quarter at the weekend, Tardy. But what I also saw were Carlton members within earshot turning around to remind those supporters teeing off that we are on this journey and we have to be mindful that this is not a quick fix. This is going to take time. So to all the supporters and members out there, all power to you for maintaining the faith, because it is difficult at the moment, but it was a tough afternoon at Etihad. Two ways about it.
It's occasioned a bit of commentary, not surprisingly, from some ex-players. Robert Walls, he came out and made the point that if Carlton are having the season that we're having, or now the Carlton are having the season that it is having, why not play Harry Mackay? Why are younger players not getting a run in favour of, let's say, I want to say middle age, but, players in their mid-20s who are established, who have come from other clubs. So can you offer any thoughts on that, Tone?
Look, I don't know what the circumstances are in respect of Harry Mackay. I don't know whether he had an injury or what the story was, but I can recall Brendan Bolton saying along the way that, there were certain areas of Harry's game that they wanted him to work on back in the twos. And the common theme throughout has been that there are going to be no free games awarded to any Carlton player.
Yeah.
So I suspect Harry's a young bloke and he's probably still learning the craft, so maybe they want him to work on areas of his game, get that right before he warrants inclusion back in the team. In saying that, you'd love to see him out there. No two ways about it. And as I said, maybe, in light of what happened at Etihad on Saturday, there may be changes to the 22 that took to the field. So, I like anyway, would love to see Harry Mackay up and about and front and centre for the club. And I'm sure his day will come. Just a question of when rather than if.
Yeah. Yeah, personally, from my point of view, watching it, I'm thinking, yes, I understand the rebuild, but there should be some at least solid evidence of that, and I didn't see any of it.
No, that's true too. I suppose the other issue here, Tony, and I'm not Cage, but maybe you have to be careful in terms of the balance.
Yeah.
That you can't throw all the kids in at once. You're always running the risk of throwing lambs to the slaughter.
Yeah.
So it's a question of balance, I suspect. There might be other mitigating factors which I don't know about, but look, make no mistake. You'd love to see Big H up front clunking them and getting as many games as possible under his belt, because the future's in the kids for sure, and it's a great crop. We have to keep them together and hope that they really, with every game, just take quantum leaps in their respective careers.
Yeah.
And let's hope that that happens, and sooner rather than later, Tone.
Well, indeed, and, you know, we see a reduction in things like goals from turnovers, which just kills you every day of the week. Converting those opportunities in the forward 50.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned those three goals, which would have kept us in the game in that first quarter. But
I remember there was a bit of play too where Zach Fisher, I think it was, handballed the ball inward to a running Ed Curno,
who was
clear and left the ball behind.
Yes.
And those moments, they just really kill you. You know, that. I know you're having half a seizure here as I'm reminding you, but... Come on, Tone.
I really thought I'd burnt that memory. I thought I'd bury it. That, you know, I was at home watching it on my wife's computer on Foxtel, and
was it Optus? Was it?
It wasn't. No, thank you. So I was able to watch the whole game. more to the pity. That one just had me under the table in a fetal position. But there were others, and it was that sort of game, it must be said. But
you're still doing it hard. I could see that.
Oh, I tell you, no, games like that do. Yeah, and this is the thing, you know, with the new plastic memberships, you can't tear them in half, so they know what they're doing. It was. You know, and all credit to Freo, they did the homework, they came to play. They're not great on the road, but they were certainly
impressive.
They were on from the first bounce. Yeah.
And they did a number on Adelaide. Dominated. They did a number on Adelaide the week before.
Yeah,
so,
oh, that's true, yeah.
They went in with winning form.
Yeah.
And no, all power to them. Good luck to them.
So, look, we're going to preview the Collingwood game now, but not before... your most onerous of duties, Tone, and that is to come up with the three votes for the Carlton's 57-point loss to Freo over the weekend.
Well, look, it's the most unenviable task in football, Tony, but I gave him a best shot.
Yeah.
I actually gave one vote to Zach Fisher because I thought...
magnificent. Great.
The young bloke, he just turned 20 this week, I thought was fantastic, particularly
totally
early when the game... There was... a bit of heat in the game early, and I thought he flew the flag for us, you know, when many others didn't, particularly through that first half. One vote to Zach, well played.
Can I just make a point? This, what is so heartening about this is when you talk rebuilds, and we do the 3-2-1s, your 3-2-1s every week, and there just seems to be too small a pool of players who are dominating this 3-2-1, and to me, evidence of the rebuild is younger players like that getting votes for games. So this is when I know that the rebuild is on and it's fair dinkum. And Zach Fisher, he is magnificent.
Magnificent.
I just love that kid.
Yeah, we all love the way he plays. You know, a small guy that throws himself in where others fear to tread. And, and you've got to love his dynamism and the bubble that he brings around the contest. We love seeing him play. Cade Simpson, we go to the other extreme. Particularly in the second half, you know, I think what stands out in my mind about Simo is just, you know, that propensity to put his body on the line, running the same way as the ball, back into oncoming players and coming out with the mark. I just love that, and that's what we need. You know, we need fellows like Simo showing backbone and finding a way, particularly when we're under duress. And more power to Simo, the evergreen one. He's in fine fettle. And three votes I gave to Patrick Cripps.
Yeah.
I just thought, gave it everything. A little bit of a lone hand, you know, with Murph's absence. You know, I was looking, you know, around the ground, and you were seeing people like Fife, Sandilands, Mundy. Who was the other one in there? The other on baller, name escapes me now, is a very good player. Neil's the other one, Lockie Neil. And here we had, fellows like Paddy Dow and O'Brien that, were just starting out in the caper. Boys to men in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I thought Cripps, you know, really with his physical presence and his appetite for the contest was really, really important. And I've admired the way he's gone about his work, particularly Murph's absence this year. That's leadership that Cripps is showing.
Yes.
And all power to Patrick Cripps for the way he's playing.
Well, Cade Simpson is an equal game high 9 intercept possessions, 90.6 efficiency, 32 disposals, if you don't mind.
No, a fabulous performance.
Look, it really was certainly from him, and that's, as you say, that exemplifies well, exemplifies him, his style of play, who he is, and the leadership. I mean, you can't fault him for that kind of on-field leadership.
No.
We have to just touch on Mark Murphy, then speculation about this week, about his future at the club and you know, the press the Carlton are getting about whether or not he just yields the captaincy to Cripper. Have you across that tone?
Well, interestingly, you asked me earlier about what was going on in the rooms, and Murph was front and centre in the rooms after the game, you know, lending support and being around the place. And I recall a moment where he came over to speak to one of the members and supporters that gathered in the room. I can't remember who the person was, but the person implored Murph to hang around.
Yeah.
To stay on at Carlton.
Yeah.
And, look, I don't know what the latest is, but certainly I think at this particular moment in Carlton history, we need experience and we need, you know, an old head around as our new players emerge. So who knows what decision will come. It's a very personal decision that Mark Murphy has to make. But, look, I for one hope that he does decide that he wants to play out his career at the Carlton Football Club. Because we certainly need him, I think, with our group where they are at the moment. We need his experience and his wherewithal. I guess it'll play out soon. It probably has to, doesn't it?
And look, my feeling would be he'd want to be a one club player.
Well, I think so. You know, he's been extremely loyal to the cause. You know, yeah. And I'm sure. You know, we can't put a time frame on the turnaround when it will happen, but hopefully these things do happen suddenly out of nowhere, and Murph gets an opportunity to smell the roses after being at Carlton through a particularly difficult period of its existence, it has to be said.
Now, Tone, I mentioned that we are playing Collingwood, the old foe, the oldest of foes, MCG. It's an away game for Carlton, Sunday, 3:20 p.m. As I said, Collingwood have... they've only beaten, I think, one team in the top eight, that being Melbourne. And they've had some... And I'm not suggesting any kind of conspiracy at all, but they seem to have had a pretty easy draft. Fixture.
Oh, fixture.
Fixture.
A draw.
Draw, there we go.
Yep.
That's what I meant.
Yep.
But look, their tails are up. There'll be a decent crowd there,
yes.
And they'll be sensing blood.
Well, they will be. You alluded to the previous contest where we probably played them in the fall. That was the night of the famous the misspelled Tinnigus, wasn't it, on the banner? And I think that was all that went wrong from that night. It all went north from there.
Yeah.
Notwithstanding the much anticipated banner era for Collingwood this week, we know that we're in for a pretty tough contest against a team that, yes, it has to be said, is playing some good team footy at the moment. You'd like to think, Tony, after such a lamentable showing, that the Carlton players will respond the way we want them to at the weekend. As I said, it'll be interesting to see what changes are made to the team. Time will tell, I guess. We would just want a more honest performance from the Carlton team that takes the field this week. 22 players who have the privilege of running out wearing the Carlton Guernsey, and we want to see them play with passion and really put their heads over the ball and their bodies on the line. Let's hope it happens.
From the first bounce. We talk often about the game within the game here. Cruiser versus Cox, what do you think?
Yeah, well, and Grundy, of course.
Oh,
Grundy's
yeah.
the man. I think Cox will probably, you'd think that either Jones or Sam Rowe would probably get the gig there if Cox starts forward.
Yeah.
But Cruiser v Grundy, that's going to be a great duel. I mean, Grundy's in probably all Australian form.
Yeah.
So it's a massive challenge for the big fella Cruiser. There's going to be some really interesting subplots to this, as you've pointed out. But I think overall what Brendan Bolton would be looking for, Tone, is just an honesty of performance across the board. And that's all we as supporters and members can hope to ask for, and nothing more, nothing less. We want to see a red hot go from our team, and let's hope it happens from 3:20 this week.
Yeah, and we don't want to hear the strains of good old Collingwood forever at the end of the game.
No, thanks.
It took weeks to get out of my head last time. That was not fun.
No.
Good luck, Collingwood. Discovering a thing called spell check. So good luck with that. Now, just before we go, Tone, just before coming on air, Lucy, our producer, told us the devastating news about Alex Silvani.
Well, you've got a feel for Alex Silvani, returning from injury the weekend through the Northern Bullheads and ruptured his Achilles, I believe. I saw him in the warm-up area before in the moon boot.
Yeah.
That's the season over.
Yeah.
It's cruel, and we haven't had a look at him this year at all.
Yeah.
It's so disappointing because I think, you know, we talk of honesty in the contest. Well, there's a fellow that's a match-hardened, experienced player, the sort of player we really need out there. And it's devastating news. You know, Alex has been a great... he's a great man, and he's fitted in well at the club. And one of those players that does lead by example.
Yeah.
And... It's cruel for him and the club that basically it's season over for Alex Silvani, and we can only hope that this is an injury that he does overcome for 2019, because what they say, the Achilles is an old man injury.
Really?
We hope it isn't. We hope he can overcome this setback. But he must be so crestfallen. He was ready to go again, and unfortunately... he has broken down again, and that's the cruel nature of this game, Tony. It no man is spared, unfortunately.
No. I think we can at this point look at season 2018 and say Carlton has had more than its fair measure of Lady Fortune's ire.
Yes. Can I just? I'd like to share a little story with you in the wake of the ugly scenes that. That were on show at halftime at Etihad.
Yeah.
There were moments where Carlton members and supporters were teeing off at Carlton players quite audibly.
Yeah.
But members, like-minded members around within earshot, would quickly turn on those players to remind them, listen, we're in this together and we're all part of this club. Just take a breath. And it was great to see that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the vitriol didn't end. Beyond the game, the Twitter was erupting, you know, with people venting their spleen. And there's a chap named Darren Silverman, who I'd like to acknowledge, who put up a tweet basically along the lines of, I've been a long life Carlton supporter. I've seen a lot of great days. It's hard to have to deal with the tough times, but it's all part of it. And we will emerge thick and thin, was his message, thick and thin. I actually saw that tweet and responded with a tweet of my own, can I buy you a beer? To which Darren replied, oh, yes, please. So on the Sunday afternoon, we gathered down at the Great Northern and a couple of other supporters, Darren's brother and a bloke named Peter Dalton, who's been a Carlton supporter for 60 years, rocked up in wearing their Carlton scarves. And together we sat and talked happy times to the Carlton Football Club, and we all concurred that we needed to stick together to, you know, just support the club through these dark days, and all will be fine. So to Darren and to Peter, Darren's brother, and Peter Dalton, Peter Walton, I apologise, Peter Walton, all power to you. You're the sort of people that we want supporting the Carlton Football Club. And I put an emphasis on supporter, and the very essence of the word is to support.
Yes.
All power to those men for backing the club in its time of need. And there will be blue skies, boys. I promise you that. We just have to hang in, and it will turn. So well done to you.
Well, in the words of that great wartime song, tomorrow is a lovely day.
And would you like to perhaps hum a few bars for us, Tone, to send us out?
That's very nice. No, I won't. I don't actually know the melody. I'm pretty sure it's Fearalyn, isn't it?
Is it?
Tomorrow's another lovely day.
Is another day or a lovely day? Tomorrow's lovely. Perhaps if we can put the heat on Lucy, we can get her to... Can we grab that song and fade out to that? I'd like to hear it.
I think we could. I'll need
you're
to check
going to
do
live music straight away, are you?
Well, hang on. Let me go. Tomorrow...
Just chat amongst yourselves, listeners. Do this.
A lovely day. Just thank you for your patience. Vera Lynn, it's a lovely day tomorrow.
Can you press play and whack it up to the mic? Let's have a listen.
Spirit of the Blitz. What a wonderful woman. Oh.
That's an ad. You've called up Optus.
No. Here we go. Skip ad.
Tomorrow is a lovely day. Come and feast your tear-dimmed eyes on tomorrow's clear blue sky.
This has been the Two Tones.
Starting off.
Go Blues.